Hello, thank you very much for having me here and for coming. So today I would like to discuss the politicization of musical enjoyment, focusing on drum circle facilitation and the prevalence of collective drumming practices in contemporary social movements. Essentially, my basic question asks, how is musical enjoyment politicized in drum circles? This presentation intends to outline some of the ideological commitments, meanings, and discourses that place enjoyment as a central factor in the politicization of drum circles, in the streets as well as in the lucrative drum facilitation industry. Each drum circle context articulates this process differently, historicizing and politicizing enjoyment in different ways and presenting their own particular issues and problems. But it is important for me to first outline what I mean by political enjoyment, which is drawn from the work of Slavoj Žižek and his theory of enjoyment as a political factor. Although Žižek situates this theory from the position of Lacanian psychoanalysis, I'm utilizing it as a jump-off point to discuss musical political enjoyment more generally. Despite the pessimistic tone of Žižek's writings, there are some very interesting points that he raises, which can help articulate the role of enjoyment in contemporary musical political contexts. Žižek extends Lacan's concept of jouissance, obscene displeasurable enjoyment that is beyond signification, into the political field. Jody Dean states that this theory is concerned with, quote, the ways that ideological formations work as economies of enjoyment to forbid, permit, direct, and command enjoyment, end quote. In the realm of political life, there were opportunities for subjects to try and access jouissance through the performance of institutional rituals that validate our political ideologies and their master signifiers. Ideas of freedom, democracy, Canada, or we are the 99%, for example, generating a sense of communal belonging, singing national anthems, voting, the belief in our Charter of Human Rights, and performing in drum circles would be, for Žižek, instances of our identification with these political ideologies, collectively forming an impossible sublime object that would jointly represent our ultimate fulfillment, what democracy means, what it is to be Canadian, etc. But for Žižek, unification with the sublime object is always thwarted, both by the impossibility of accessing it, as well as by its propensity to be stolen away from us by an elusive and all-pervasive other. The 1%, illegal immigrants, religious fundamentalists or multicultural others who maintain their difference while becoming integrated into the rest of society. Among many other problems that Žižek states is that in our current political situation, subjects are cynical and distrustful of the democratic institutions that are meant to represent democracy, multiculturalism in America, distancing subjects from their professed ideals and values and rendering collective rituals meaningless. This point is perhaps one of the reasons why Žižek has become such a lauded intellectual today. His work traces a sense that there is a powerlessness and dissatisfaction that arises due to the rampant corporatism and corruption in politics, the malfunctioning and arguable failure of the global financial system, and the disastrous man-made ecological crises that our political leaders are seemingly incapable of resolving. In many ways, these issues are helpful in framing the context and emergence of Occupy as a spontaneous manifestation of dissent, as well as other forms of arts-based cultural activism, trying to address these issues through divergent avenues and discourses. However, Žižek remained wary about how we articulated our dissent during Occupy, concerned that protesters might corrupt their initial political demands into obscene acts of enjoyment that fall short of their professed ideals, resorting to what he calls the capitalistic injunction to enjoy at all costs. In an interview in his position on Occupy, he stated that, quote, they shouldn't fall in love with themselves. By this I mean, oh, what a nice time we're having here. The immediate freedom, ecstatic, back to old hippie days. No. The true problem is the day after. What of this will be translated into our daily lives, end quote. Žižek claimed that the so-called wrong people in the movement started to celebrate Occupy Wall Street as some kind of new social carnival. In one YouTube video, he cited an example of a San Francisco Occupy organizer that claimed that they had no distinct political program or list of demands, saying that, quote, we are here to enjoy ourselves, to have a nice collective experience, end quote. For Žižek, this is ideology in its purest sense, conceiving political engagements in a way that, for him, mystifies and obscures political issues. This outlook would only provide a form of surplus enjoyment for subjects, a minute stand-in for our desire to access the real of political jouissance. Although I do not necessarily hold to Žižek's critical position on enjoyment, which perhaps sees little political significance in forms of arts-based cultural activism, his theory does provide at least a window into noticing the many ways that drummers and critics conceive enjoyment as a political factor in these musical practices. Beginning in New York City in September 2011, the Occupy Wall Street protests set off a chain of occupations and demonstrations across North America and around the world. However, an unexpected figure emerged in the movement that proved to be one of its most contentious issues. Pulse, the main drum circle that occupied Wall Street in Zuccotti Park. Faced with threats of eviction by the city and arrests by the police, the Pulse drum circle aggravated critics and divided many supporters within the movement. Tensions reached a high point when some of the drummers threatened to splinter off from the Occupy movement itself. Many of the drummers did not agree with or respected Occupy's General Assembly's motions to limit the drumming at set times, 4 hours per day from 12 to 2 and 4 to 6 p.m., as the drummers constantly disrupted announcements, voting, and other activities. They often performed around 10 plus hours straight well into the night. One often cited Pulse drumming participant in a number of articles claimed that the Occupy organizers are, quote, becoming the government we're trying to protest. They didn't even give the drummers a say. Drumming is the heartbeat of this movement. Look around, this is dead. You need a pulse to keep something alive, end quote. In short, what seemed to be a relatively resolvable issue turned into a very serious political problem. Many supporters of Occupy felt that the negative media attention towards the drum circles was an attempt to delegitimize the movement. However, others thought that it was a sign of the limitations of Occupy's leaderless, horizontal structure. But conservative critics, writers, and TV pundits were quick to downplay the drumming as reflecting hippie, countercultural, slacker ideals. People too lazy to find work, who felt entitled to the spoils of hardworking Americans, representing, for them, one of the many problems within the left. The movement supporters had to come to terms with the tragic idea that, comically, Occupy Wall Street could end due to a drum circle, what is perhaps the biggest stereotype of leftist political dissent today. But in many ways, the critical discourse of Pulse in the media powerfully connected countercultural ideals of immediate gratification, pleasure, and anti-authoritarianism with the drummers, portraying them as self-indulgent and the movement as being disorganized and fractured. The argument that drumming was political in itself was not successful in this instance, seen as an excuse for people to enjoy and take pleasure in a disruptive countercultural event. It was used as an example against the movement. Furthermore, the drums were not interpreted as being inherently political for all Occupy protesters. As a Time magazine article demonstrated, citing three examples of the call-response mic check practice that was employed in light of a public ban on megaphones. Three different interpretations of the drummers and their role in the movement were articulated. My concern is that the drummers may entirely disregard decisions made by this assembly. The drums are a way for people to find us. And finally, drums are really cool, and when people get off work, seeing a bunch of people playing drums is really cool. However, there are some organizations that do take very seriously the practice of collective drumming performance as a political act in itself. Rhythms of Resistance, for example, who held a presence in Toronto and other Occupy protests, is, according to the website of the London, UK-based chapter, quote, an activist anti-capitalist transnational network. Using samba as a form of political action, we use tactical frivolity inspired by carnival to confront and critique systems of domination and directly support everybody struggling against exploitation, discrimination, and oppression, end quote. Describing the role as the carnival bloc, in contrast with black bloc anarchistic tactics, samba drumming is seen as an alternative way to, quote, critique and disrupt capitalist social relations. Carnival is an expression of freedom involving laughter, mockery, dancing, masquerade, and revelry, end quote. They do it because, quote, it's fun, makes us feel good, sexy, rockin', lifts our spirits up in the face of adversity. It's an immediate, spontaneous, direct form of action. Immediacy is everything. It's a form of protest in itself. In this way, the enjoyment that is generated in the carnival experience is interpreted as part of a subversive political field, reversing hierarchical power roles and generating a sense of merriment and solidarity. Perhaps the intention of the Pulse drummers drew from a similar position as Rhythms of Resistance. However, by dismissively being associated directly with the Occupy movement, as opposed to being a separate anarchistic organization, the Pulse drummers seem to compound criticisms against the movement from all sides, how Occupy did not have concrete demands or an agenda, etc. Perhaps many critics didn't expect the movement to be anarchistic at all, preferring that it should have functioned within the political structures and institutions that it was essentially dissenting against. The Occupy example seemed to represent a contrary narrative of drum circles, challenging presumptions that they are all-inclusive and that they engender community. But in many ways, the intention that informs a number of drum circle practices is very problematic and fundamentally flawed, especially if we were going to look at the literature and discourse of the drum facilitation and corporate team-building industry. Fitting within a Žižekian framework, what better way to prop up the limits of a musico-political ideology than to see its complete integration within the discourses of neoliberal global capitalism? I have a quick little clip that I'm going to play.
You really get to understand the company, their mission, their vision, what's their heartbeat, their pulse. And you look at the group of people that have come together, they're from different geographies, different regions, they do different things within the organization. We get to understand some of the successes that they're celebrating, some of the milestones for the year ahead, whether they're hard metrics or soft metrics, and we build those right into the program, really like a tapestry. The corneal division showed incredible growth accomplishments in the latter part of 2008 with a 22% market share gain. And your net promoter score increased in 2007. Give yourselves a drum roll, because that's worthy of a recognition.
So there's more, but I think you get the point just in that little clip. So the Drum Cafe is one of many massively successful facilitation companies. It originated in South Africa, and today it has chapters all around the world, including many in Canada. Drum Cafe packages African drumming as a tool for what they call organizational happiness, injecting the language of business incentives to complement their cultural narrative. Their clients include Starbucks, CNN, BP, ExxonMobil, and HP, just to name a few. They claim that West African drumming is able to improve corporate group dynamics, enable effective decision-making, and enhance focus and clarity. Furthermore, according to their website, quote, the drum is the most accessible instrument for non-musicians. Drumming requires no talent, aptitude, or physical ability. Just a sense of fun. So as long as you want to have fun, you can be a drummer. However, the manner in which their marketing is done is largely through emphasizing universal, cross-cultural values because, quote, for hundreds of years, drumming has been used in building communities in Africa. Turn your company or department into a community today, end quote. According to their website, their leadership program has been designed, quote, by global motivation speakers, HR consultants, company CEOs, leading musicians, and academic professors, end quote. In the discourse, drumming is idealized as a cross-cultural universal phenomenon, claiming that supposedly African cultural values are beneficial for corporate life in the West, which is seen as alienating and ultimately unfulfilling. Many of these companies and their websites emphasize a sense of how the drum circle perpetuates a non-hierarchical structure. The CEO sits alongside the custodian who performs with the admin staff, computer scientists, etc. In many ways, it appeals to a view that of pre-global capitalistic utopianism, a critique of contemporary working life and how our sense of community has been lost along the way. Although the end result is supposedly a happier and more productive employee, this path to happiness is also said to be natural and innate because, quote, we all tap the steering wheel on our cars. We all tap our feet to the radio, end quote. Following this logic, the experience of enjoyment in participating in these workshops reflects a sense of cross-cultural universality and commonality between Westerners and others, injecting the other's enjoyment into the stereotypical unhappiness that is attributed to corporate working life. By identifying with this ideology, we can all authentically participate and enjoy in a musical practice that merely reiterates this shared cross-cultural similarity. The Drum Cafe narrative perpetuates a universal stance based on a relativistic interpretation of African drumming, framed as though we all do it in the first place. We all enjoy music just like African people do. We can enjoy ourselves and form communities through drumming like African cultures do. The distinct cultural, political, and religious context of African drumming, then, is neutralized, giving license for facilitators to provide these services in a non-problematic way and on their own terms. But as Eric Cherry states, quote, drum circles are based on the partial appropriation and transformation, indeed simplification of African-based drumming, to the point of obscuring cultural or racial origins. Their appeal to such a broad, predominantly white population relies on a mystical universal consciousness, or perhaps a belief in the drum circle's healing powers, based not in African experience, but rather in American imaginings of a global utopia. The very nature of the drum circle's all-inclusive philosophy, anyone can do it, precludes getting too close to African rhythms, end quote. From this vantage point, the facilitators have developed a distinct musical discourse and body of work that derives from this neutral premise, distinguishing their practice from other pedagogical models. Perhaps the most well-known African drum facilitator is Arthur Hall, based in California, and is regarded as having popularized the drum circle and drum-based team-building industry for over 30 years. Hull distinguishes his practice as the community drumming model that is presented as an alternative to culturally specific drum circles and traditions. It is, quote, a place where everybody is welcome regardless of their level of musical experience and drumming knowledge. It's a celebration of life and community where a number of points of view are created in a single rhythm circle, end quote. Hull advocates that one does not need to be a drum teacher in order to be a facilitator, quote, burdened by superfluous technical knowledge or trying to teach particular drumming skills and rhythms, end quote. Charismatic leadership is actually more important for successful facilitation than the content of the drumming itself. Focusing too much technique and cultural specificity can change the dynamic from I am here to help you make beautiful music to I am here to give you a lecture, end quote. Because facilitation is meant to guide people to be able to learn for themselves, quote, how to make beautiful music without overly challenging them to learn technical skills or culturally specific drum parts, end quote. The role of a facilitator then is to, quote, motivate and direct the performance of the group so that each participant by the end of the gathering can feel accomplished as a member of the community, end quote. Some Canadian facilitators I interviewed echoed these ideals and identified with the community drumming model, but admitted that they experienced significant conflicts with drummers from distinct cultural traditions and musical groups. One interview participant, Jay, stated that, quote, there's been a few circles where Aboriginal people have come up and just basically ruined the circle and kind of tore me down for what I was doing. Same with a couple African master drummers who have said the same thing, just kind of like coming down on us for using their instruments in specific types of ways, end quote. According to another facilitator, Kelly, quote, there's certain cultures that have very strict protocol around drumming, and I've been face to face with that clash. When we speak as a facilitator in this tradition, there's this understanding that we don't serve as much as teachers. And by teacher, we're not here to teach culturally specific forms of drumming, end quote. Citing one particular drum circle event, Kelly reminisced how tensions arose from Aboriginal drummers in a circle who harshly critiqued his group. Quote, it really hurt me, you know. There's so much pain and we can't even just enjoy this. I want to enjoy it, but there's so much pride, end quote. In response, Kelly claimed that, quote, there's something that gets freed up when we don't present from a cultural perspective. And that's the idea that something even greater can happen when we leave that arena behind, end quote. So cultural drumming in this manner is positioned as being a limiting factor, structuring the circle in a way that does not appeal to the individualistic and spontaneous values that Western facilitators share. It somehow does not meet their criteria of community. Cultural traditions are fixed and restrictive. The lead drummer in a West African context, for example, is too authoritative. It does not allow for free expression and fun. But by downplaying the cultural in this sense, while continuing to use African and other non-Western instruments, facilitators find themselves in conflicting situations. They attempt to provide a neutral space that is free of antagonism, free of identifying factors that make musical traditions meaningful for specific groups, while simultaneously continuing to borrow from them. Enjoyment in the circle is thus only possible for everyone as long as cultural specificity, the other's difference, is diffused. In this way, the community drum circle model culturalizes the musicianship of others, which effectively depoliticizes and restrains them as being too bounded by culture, a result of bias, ideology, tradition, and pride, prohibiting the all-permissive intention that informs a community drum circle. Issues of cultural relativism, appropriation, exoticism are then rearticulated in a discourse that claims to be post-ideological, essentially, beyond the enmities that characterizes difference, a perfect ideological fantasy within Zizek's logic, to be sure. So in conclusion, the dynamic of political enjoyment, I love that picture. In conclusion, the dynamic of political enjoyment is articulated and framed in a number of ways within various drum circles and collective drumming contexts. These practices represent a multitude of meanings and political significances for facilitators, performers, and participants alike. But what often connects these interpretations are issues regarding musical enjoyment and how it relates to social and political objectives. Zizek's theory of musical enjoyment as a political factor, which does not propose as many solutions as it does problems, can be understood as a basis to at least consider and critique how enjoyment is permitted and prohibited in different musical political contexts. Proceeding from this vantage point could perhaps help develop new methods and musical practices that politicizes forms of musical enjoyment, that challenges conventional drumming practices and some of their problematic issues. Thank you.
Okay, is it time for questions?
I think this may be very different, but I hope you say explicitly, what extent do you see the Yep, by drumming, sharing some of the ideological coordinates of the corporate drum, a universal building community wisdom. Yeah.
Like how are they connected with one another, or?
Well, with my mind, the occupy drum movement also is saying, oh, we're transcending, we're going beyond any background, we're building community through drumming, we're building positive connections. It's we lost some area between certain forms of political speech and their corporate forms.
Definitely, yeah. I liked it because it obviously shows sort of an immediate conflict or at least a contradiction. But I think it highlights, though, looking at it generously, that the drum circle as a form, it's utilized and interpreted in these multiple ways. But yes, the exact same values that political organizations politicize it and think that this is why it's great, it's the same values that make it appealing in a corporate team building scenario. So at first I thought that this was, oh yes, it's like it proves that it's a corrupt practice or something. But really, I think it more reflects how, as a form, it's become through possibly, you know, very very simplistic kind of interpretations that yes, it is political, it is cultural, it is global, it is all these things that represents globalization and all of these kinds of things. And these kinds of presuppositions, perhaps maybe that's what's making it look like kind of a joke within the political sphere. It immediately became, oh, hippies doing this kind of thing. But yeah, so definitely the same values, same things.
Another book might be military drumming, the connection that creating a unified group. I don't know. It's another book, but this is like for a corporate, the history of sort of military and drumming.
Yeah, definitely. The military drumming aspect is very useful and very powerful narrative as well. One of the things that I've come across, though, in researching rhythm and drumming topics, especially when it comes to drumming and politics, is that even scholarly works are quick to kind of frame drumming practices, including anti-global capitalist practices, by citing drumming in Congo Square, military drumming, war drumming in Africa, pre-colonialism. It's like bridging all of these, essentially. I don't know. For me, it feels like it's difficult to make these connections at some points, and also too, an anti-capitalist kind of demonstrations, like Occupy and others. There's not the ethnicized or group or national a group that's trying to propose nationalism or something that in the past. Where drumming and music has been used to depict a very specific group, ethnic group, religious group. In the global, anti-global capitalist context, it's all of these voices together. So yes, these discourses are interesting, but at the same time, I feel like even academically, we should look at these kinds of practices as a distinctly westernized kind of conception, that the facilitators don't see it as appropriation or racism or something. It's a reflection of our global capitalist situation or something. It's already happening. So there's some challenges, I think, at the same time.
On the role of facilitator, because the last two examples that you gave very much relied on charismatic leadership to guide and focus the drum circle in at times in that video a very creepy way. How does the role of facilitator work in more of the activist model? Is there strong leadership? Is it more of a common playing experience?
Well, in the samba, because when I was at York University, I was in the samba squad class, and Rick Lazar was the instructor. And samba squad is involved in some protests as well. And there is a leader. He is the leader with a whistle and with a particular drum that is higher pitched and louder. And so he directs, and he actually directs with hand gestures. And very much so within the rhythm of the resistance model, if it's using a samba drumming model, it would be that kind of leadership role. But one thing I didn't talk about today, but just mentioning that I love the Les Casseroles that was happening, the global noise movement, precisely because I think in one way it doesn't, sort of the semiotics involved in instruments that are cultural, or ethnic, that's not involved there, so that the problematics that I was talking about aren't necessarily at the fore. We're not using African drums or anything here. It's articulating something different. And also, too, this was used as a pacifist way to sort of quell mass arrests by police. Families got involved, kids were walking through the streets doing it. It changed the dynamic of it, but there wasn't a leadership role there, and it was more noisy than it was like claves and all kinds of things. Pardon me?
Living in Montreal, it's hard to pass.
No, but it was from being, I was there for the Systematic Musicology Conference in the middle of all that happening as well. And from my discussions with some... Pardon me?
There was a lot of aggression.
Oh, okay. From my experience though, it seemed like there were a lot more families and people got involved. It seemed like it was a more of an open kind of format for people to get involved in the. No? Well, I was in Ottawa, so maybe going from Ottawa to Montreal, I didn't see so much of the the more aggressive side to it. But I think within this kind of cultural issue, the cultural drumming issue, the facilitation issue, it provides at least a different way of dealing with this kind of issue of using these drums in these scenarios.
Jeremy, thanking Daniel for his presentation.